Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Never quit. Never quit. If there's anyone, fellas, that knows the ethos of the Miami Heat, of course, it's LeBron James from his four-year stay, two titles there, four finals appearances. If you're watching us this morning on ESPN2, ESPN News, beautiful Monday morning here in Lower Manhattan. Jay Will is in the house after providing all the analysis last night. Keys Lakers lose. It's still a 2-1 lead, game four,
right,
tomorrow
Key.
Night.
Yeah,
you're
you,
right.
You just heard me. That wasn't from today. That was like a week ago.
And you were on point.
Oh, yeah. I said they're going to catch us in game three. We're going to be sleepwalking, and they're going to pop us. Then we're going to roll the next two. That's what happened. They caught us sleepwalking.
They did. The Lakers have had one clunker, you had mentioned, in every playoff series, whether it was game one against Portland or Houston. And then obviously Denver posed the challenge, and the Heat are clearly back.
And I don't want to hear about this is different. I don't want to hear that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin,
that's what they'll be saying. But this is different. This is different. That's what's coming next. But this one's different.
You know the narrative.
This one's different.
We'll see. Yeah, Keyshawn, okay. J. Will, Zubin, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Jay, I want to get your thoughts right away on the greatness of Jimmy Butler. The Bulls are completely starting over. They have not just a new head coach. They have a new front office. Jimmy left him in his wake. The Minnesota Timberwolves are picking first overall in the NBA draft. Jimmy left him in their wake. The Sixers have a new head coach and they're rebuilding. Jimmy left him in their wake. And I think I sense a pattern here. Jimmy Butler with only the third 40-point triple-double in NBA Finals history.
Ooh.
Those three teams realizing what could have been, and the one team he's got right now, the Heat, are realizing how lucky they are.
Going into the fourth quarter of 2020, a year that I feel like we're in a major deficit with coronavirus, social injustice, everything happening, I need one of two things going into the fourth quarter of 2020.
What's
number
that?
One, I need Jimmy Butler on my team. I need him on my team in the face of all odds. This guy steps up to the plate and delivers a 40-point triple-double. And number two, I hope we're playing against the Atlanta Falcons. Those are the two things I need going into the fourth quarter. Let's be honest. But what I saw him do last night, here, the pregame, guys, and think about this, Key. I know we have a lot of people in these positions, leadership positions, that are talking and hearing a voice of strength. Before the game, he was talking to Rachel Nichols, and Rachel was saying, well, you're down Bam Adebayo, you're down Goran Dragic, two guys that collectively combined for 40-plus points per game, mm-hmm. Going against LeBron James and Anthony Davis, two guys who are considered two top five players in the league. And you saw this positive anxiety from Jimmy. He was rocking back and forth, and his answer said it all. He was like, look, as human beings, as basketball players, we wish these guys were on the floor, but we have a job to do. And he believes that they were going to win the game. And that's what it takes. It takes your leader, in the face of all odds, still believing that they can accomplish something that a lot of people, I had thought they had no chance. I said it pregame. I said, this is over. This is over. I didn't think they had a chance. And the way AD played last night, they threw different schemes at him. They doubled him. They turned the ball over. They had 12-plus turnovers in the first half. LeBron James was not only disappointed in himself, it felt like he was more disappointed in his teammates. Mm. They were trying to find different ways to get into the game emotionally. You saw Rajon Rondo and LeBron. They were talking trash to somebody in the stands just trying to get the lather up. AD, you felt like you're watching New Orleans Pelicans AD. At halftime, Key, he had two shots, one rebound, five turnovers, and was minus 17. Halftime. Now, I know that the Heat gave him different looks defensively, but there's no excuse that the Lakers should have lost that game last night.
Well, I anticipated.
No excuse.
I anticipated them to probably lose the game, because in situations where you are taking advantage of a team, you kind of get lost in the moment, so to speak. You just kind of, we're up 2-0. We could just coast. They don't have their two big guns. We got ours, we could coast, and then before you know it, you're down, and then you try to get back, and it's too late. You can't find that mojo or that energy to get back. The fact that AD played the way that he played last night showed me that he didn't take that particular game serious. Like, it wasn't like one of those deals where it was game two, or it was a closeout game in game six or game five, and they needed to have it to close it out. It was kind of like, we have some real estate to play around with. We're going to play around with it. That's the way I looked at it.
115-104, the final. Here's Coach Spo on his hero.
Look, how do you how else do you say it other than, you know, Jimmy effing Butler? But this is what he wanted. This is what we wanted. It's really hard to analyze or describe Jimmy until you actually feel him between the four lines. He is a supreme elite competitor, and we needed it. You know, obviously this was a very desperate, urgent game, and he was doing it on both ends of the court, just put his imprint at every important part of the game. And, you know, he's in the top percentile of this entire association in terms of conditioning. And you saw he just got stronger as the game went on.
Heat win 115-104.
He could have said freaking Butler. Right?
He could have went there.
But I don't think that's what he wanted to say right there, right? What can you say about Jimmy Butler? And I said this when the series first started, is that 20 points that he was averaging, he needed to be up in closer to the 30s for the Heat to have a chance to win, no matter who was on the floor.
It's like when you watch the Lakers, they have Superman, they have Thor, right? It's like, you're like, whoa, there's no way we can beat that. And then all of a sudden you go against Miami and they have Batman, right? Like a guy who's just molded by the darkness, it feels like. He just does it. Every possession at the end of the fourth quarter, he was either scoring or assisting on a play. Everyone. And it felt like you watched the Miami Heat snatch the life out of the Lakers in game three.
Let me ask you this obvious question if I'm a Miami Heat fan. Let's use it as we if you're a Miami Heat fan. The Heat win last night. You get an epic performance from Jimmy Butler and the possible return of Dragic and Adebayo. If that's the scenario heading into tomorrow night, what do you think?
They have a legitimate chance. Look, I originally said I thought this was going to go six games. I thought the Lakers would win at six, but I thought it was going to be a fight. So if you bring back Bam, that's another weapon. Also, you have to give Eric Spoelstra a lot of credit. They didn't play a lot of zone last night. They played different looks defensively. They forced Dwight Howard was mitigated by Myers Leonard. Whenever Dwight was in the game, Myers Leonard was in the game. They canceled each other out. Mm-hmm. When AD was in the game, they played him man-to-man. They didn't allow him to get to the block. They threw different double teams at him. They forced him to be a decision maker. They took charges on him all the time. He turned the ball over a ton. Rajon Rondo.
Eight times, I think.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. LeBron, these guys, they're not a hot three-point shooting team. When they settled, a lot of those shots were bad. That's how you typically expected the Lakers to shoot.
Yeah. That game two, when they lit it up, that wasn't going to happen. And I don't think – I would be surprised on both ends. If Jimmy Butler has another performance tomorrow like he did yesterday, and if LeBron and AD play like they did yesterday, I would be surprised if that would happen tomorrow. I don't think that that's going to happen at all.
Think about it from their starting lineup. LeBron, of course, gives you the LeBron that you need with 25. The rest of the starting lineup, AD with 15, keyed down on him. Danny Green with 2. Dwight Howard with 4. KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope with 5. 60% of your starting lineup is either giving you 2 points, 4 points, or 5 points. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Super Bowl champion Ryan Clark coming up at 7:30 Eastern. Still to come, Key's observations, the biggest takeaways Key had in the NFL yesterday, including dapping up the quarterback of a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 30 years. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Tell you, that happened a few weeks ago. It was one of the great takeaway moments of the program so far. When 79-year-old Bill Parcells, in the radio, we're always going for the 25 to 54, right? You got to be 25 to 54. We're going out of the demo with the legend, the 79-year-old Bill Parcells, texting Key. Bill P, by the way. I think he finished his text with
Bill P.
Bill P.
Now, Key, when you get a text from, I know when I get a text from Coach K, my hands kind of start shaking real quick. I'm like, oh, what happened?
No.
Or is it just, yeah?
No. Because he usually, if he's texting about something, it's, he's watching or he saw something, really. I mean, so I don't look at it like that, like, oh, I'm in trouble. Because he never really, even when he coached me, our relationship wasn't like, I'm in trouble. It was like I knew.
You knew when you were in trouble.
Yeah, I knew when I did something wrong. You know, I got some stories, man.
I know you do.
God, I got some stories, boy.
One
paywall
of
off the.
Okay. Yeah. You got to subscribe to get those stories.
Yeah.
You got to subscribe.
Keyshawn, definitely on the balance beam all the time, just teetering.
And if Coach is listening this morning, because obviously he was that other morning, good morning, Coach, and I hope he had fun watching the Preakness on Saturday, because I bet my life he was certainly watching that horse race. He is a huge horse racing guy. Huge Sunday in the NFL that really, really got a lot of our attention, from teams that got their first win to teams that stayed perfect to teams that are who we thought they were. And in that vein, let's have some key observations.
Cardinals at Panthers.
Well, you certainly look at the Arizona Cardinals, and you thought that they would be at a 5-0, going into being 5-0. But here's what I would say: they ran up on the Detroit Lions and the Carolina Panthers without Christian McCaffrey, and now they look like the damn Cardinals, a bunch of frauds, just like I told y'all. Jay Will argued me down for weeks on top of weeks how great the Cardinals are. I'm like, man, stop! They played a beat up San Francisco 49er team. In a Washington team that was hyped about beating the Philadelphia Eagles. Now they're getting ready to get into the meat of the schedule, right? They got the New York Jets, the Dallas Cowboys. What a meat of a schedule that is, right? and they could come out of this one on the losing end as well.
They're cute, man.
Just saying.
Vikings at Texans.
Now, look, this Texan thing is... It's enough. They need to move on from Bill O'Brien. They got to make a decision. Either they move on from him as the head coach or they move on from him as the general manager, because Deshaun Watson, he's the second highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. And they have him out there looking like he forgot how to play football. Mm. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's all on Bill O'Brien. That's what I would say. If they don't make it to the playoffs this year and make a deep run, they need to just move on from him, because any other coach – wouldn't have these opportunities he's getting. I promise you that.
Chargers at Buccaneers.
Well, so much for Tom Brady is old, right? 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers. He found Mike Evans, 7 for 122 and a touchdown. They do lose O.J. Howard in this particular game. That could be costly as they continue to make a strong playoff push. But Father Time is nowhere near for Tom Brady. All it took was time to get used to his players, his team, and the offense. You look at him now, he's doing things the last couple games that he did in New England. He's very comfortable in the passing game. Keep him inside the numbers, slot receivers, tight ends, and not so much on the outside perimeter throwing passes, and this is the Tom Brady that you're going to get.
Bills at Raiders.
As they say, no one circles the wagon quite like the Buffalo Bills.
Nothing but, to circle right now.
No, look, man, this team is for real. They just continue to just keep chopping wood. And when you look at Josh Allen, he's playing phenomenal. That defense is playing phenomenal. They went out to Las Vegas and took care of business. And after a tough win against the Rams a week ago, they now go on the road all the way to Vegas from the East Coast and take care of business. New England's going to be interesting when they get Cam Newton back. But the Bills are going to be one of those teams like Tennessee was last year. When they get into the playoffs, they're going to scare you. I don't know that they'll be able to get to Kansas City or get to Pittsburgh or Baltimore, But when they get in the playoffs, this will probably be a team that you would not want to play.
Jaguars at Bengals.
Well, this one is interesting. A young quarterback at Joe Burrow.
Ooh.
Three straight 300-yard games. He finally got his first W. He looks like he's going to be around for a long time. I just hope and I pray that they don't waste his talent like they did with Carson Palmer in Cincinnati. They got a real quarterback. The other quarterback that I could think of in the history of that organization was Kenny Anderson, Carson Palmer, now Joe Burrow.
And that will do it for Key Observations. He is essentially setting records, Key, every single time he steps on the field.
I think that's what I said at the beginning of the year, that he was going to break some records.
You were right. Key Observations brought to you by Geico. It's Geico-ween. Halloween, as you know, 26 days away. Switch to Geico and see how much you could have been saving. It'll haunt you. And I don't think Halloween's going to be the same for a lot of kids this year. I don't think you're going to see a lot of trick-or-treaters.
Jay Will, let the producers tell you that you were right. You don't have to tell us.
No. I'm pulling the Keyshawn Johnson. I'm patting myself on the back. That's what Keyshawn does every time. You guys can't see it at home. When Keyshawn says, I tell you something, he gives you the pat on the back to himself.
Two things I would say. One, his teammates are raving about him, absolutely positively raving about him. Again, you want to pump up your teammate, especially if he's a quarterback. You want to give him confidence. But the guys are just saying incredible things. I mean, just the superlatives are there. And Key, from the very first game he's played in the NFL, from the very first snap, considering he's had no OTAs, no rookie mini camp, no modified training camp, no preseason, he's looked like he's belonged from snap one, even though he's got none of those things under his belt.
Every now and then, somebody like that comes along. And I wasn't, when he came out in the draft, I wasn't like all excited. I'm like, okay, cool. He plays at LSU. There's 10,000 receivers that are going to the NFL from LSU. Randy Moss's son was the tight end at LSU. The running back, the defense. I mean, it was just like, I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't, like, I'm not getting all giddy about him. I want to see him in the NFL because he'll be playing with pro receivers in the NFL. If he can transfer what he did at LSU to the Cincinnati Bengals, then they're on to something. And I think he's done that. He's done a tremendous job at doing that. When you look at what he did yesterday, he threw a pick, but he was 25, 36, 300 yards. I mean, that's not – it was against Jacksonville, but that's okay. He didn't schedule Jacksonville. The league scheduled him. So – he took care of business. He got his team in the end zone. They won. Now they start to build. Let's build now. Let's not be the old Cincinnati Bengals. You see that you have one in Joe Burrow. So let's not waste his talent like they did Carson Palmer.
AFC North, man. What a division. And think, you know, one of the things I like about Joe Burrow, I went back yesterday and watched one of his first press conferences when he was about to be a starter at LSU. And, you know, sometimes you see players who are a little bit cocky. There was nothing cocky about him. He was just sure. And one of the reports was, hey, what do you think this offense is going to be like? Well, he's like, we're going to throw the ball a lot more. You know, we're going to have a faster paced offense. We're going to throw the ball a lot more. And hearing somebody of that age say that, you're like, okay. But he just goes about his work each and every day. And it's that type of leadership style where he builds other people around him. That's special about this kid.
And Joe Mixon running the ball well.
He's top five running back right now. He's playing great football.
Yeah, he is and he got paid. So there's that notion of paying running backs. That went out the window, right?
Right.
I mean, he's dominating at the point of attack. He's hitting the holes. I mean, he looks like the guy that I remember because he's from California. He looks like the guy I saw in high school.
I saw early on
in Oklahoma. Well, yeah, he had the personal issue as a freshman when he got in trouble at Oklahoma, but he certainly has, to a degree, redeemed himself of that.
Don't try to pick a fight and just say throw that notion of paying running backs out the window.
Don't try to pick a fight.
That was a jab at me.
Dalvin Cook had a great game. I'm not throwing. I'm just saying
to win a Super Bowl, sometimes you don't need a highly paid running back.
I didn't say anything about a Super Bowl.
You gave me a glance, Keyshawn. I know you.
All I said
all right.
was there goes that notion of paying running backs. Obviously, I struck a nerve because I didn't say names or anything. Just saying.
You know, hey, look, we heard press conferences. We heard Kyrie. He didn't say names. We just knew who he was insinuating.
By the way, litmus test for Burrow, big time. You can play the Chargers. You can play the Browns. You can play the Jags. Folks, it gets real this week. Cincinnati at Baltimore. That'll be the real first litmus test to see how he does. Keep in mind, Key, he also had the greatest statistical season of any college quarterback.
Hold on, I'm not going to take a big, like, if they don't get the job done against Baltimore, who bounced back this week, I'm not going to say, hey, that's going to be an indictment on.
Yeah, but
I didn't say that. Okay. But I just said they're playing a legit opponent.
Okay. But if Dwayne Haskins was worth a sniff, he'd have had Baltimore on the ropes. He'd have had them on the ropes because they was fighting early on. Washington was fighting. They was fighting.
He's teetering too, by the way. Rivera has not been at all supportive of him.
What side of the ball are you on, though, when I mean this? Like, because I've heard this argument being used for people and then against people. Well, no preseason, no OTAs. Like, I heard Tom Brady say, hey, this would have been our third game in the preseason. Like, where are you on the side of that? Because are we making, you know, big monumental thoughts about Dwayne Haskins now without all those things? Is that an indictment on him?
I just don't even, to be honest with you, I don't like him. I ain't never really liked him. That's just, I didn't like him at Ohio State, and he was balling. But you could, certain guys, man, in certain mechanics, in certain things that you look, and you like, it's just certain things. You know how you see a certain dude that got that basketball walk on his tippy toes? You like, he can't play. He doing all that, right?
Yeah.
Or that guy on the golf course that dressed all the way down, he got everything tucked in, collared shirt, a glove hanging out the back pocket, and shooting like a 85. Like, that's how I look at Dwayne Haskins. I'm like, nah.
To his benefit, though, he is in the NFC East. So they're still in a position, actually, with the Eagles winning that game last night. I can't believe that they're leading the division with 1-2-1.
And Baltimore is going to be tough out. There's no question about it with Joe Burrow. But I watched that Washington game yesterday, and I went away saying, if they had a quarterback, they actually could have won the game, man. If they just had a quarterback.
It is remarkable that Rivera, even though he knows the owner, Dan Snyder, selected Haskins. Haskins is a local kid. The only quarterback Snyder sat in on when they were choosing a quarterback a couple years ago was Haskins. The fact that he will just not give him the vote of confidence, and the fact that Kyle Allen, who obviously Rivera has a relationship with in Carolina, could supplant Dwayne Haskins sooner rather than later, is incredible. He is just not getting the opportunity, and he's certainly not getting the latitude that some of these other guys that have been drafted in his class, somebody like a Daniel Jones. They're not thinking about pulling Daniel Jones at any point, no matter what the team's record is, but Haskins is on very thin ice. Jay, I want to ask you this, because we asked Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Zubin Nation on Twitter. Key answered this earlier. Which team did you learn more about yesterday in the Cowboys-Browns game? Key clearly said the Browns. 51% of our folks on the Nation Twitter feed voted that they learned more about the Cowboys. Very slight majority for Dallas, including G-Towers13, who just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Quote, I learned that maybe the last few years weren't all Jason Garrett's fault after all. Great point. Great point, G-Towers13, because how about this stat? In the history of Jason Garrett's quote-unquote mediocre 500 run with the Cowboys, let's get this guy out of here. Never once was Jason Garrett 1-3. Never in his career starting a season was he 1-3. And the Super Bowl winner, Mike McCarthy, is. You can vote now. Key, J, and Z. Pretty easy. Vote Cowboys versus Browns. Which team?
It was the Cowboys for me. I mean, look, with Nick Chubb's out, the fact that they were still able to run the ball like that, okay. It's just a secondary for Dallas. Like that's their biggest concern. And I found myself yesterday, it was great. I was putting together this outside piece of lawn furniture while I was watching the game. And I'm just, Earl Thomas just was on my brain the whole time. And we've talked about this, like, wonder why somebody's not picking him up. Like, what's going on with the Texans? The Texans chose not to do it. And I kept watching Dallas. I'm like, he wants to be there. It may come with some extra drama, but okay. Dallas has done that before. They've taken chances on people like that before. What is holding them back from a secondary that is struggling to bring a guy like that in?
Stop telling people what we talk about, Gozy.
We talked about it live on air.
We got SportsCenter and then a Super Bowl champ on how strange it's going to be for the Chiefs and Pats tonight.
Olynyk in the front court, hands it off to Butler, not before LeBron James tried to pry it away. Now it's Butler driving, Butler hanging, Butler hitting a 40-point game three, triple-double for Jimmy Butler, Miami by 9 with a minute 13 to go.
He's been a man all night.
That's what happened. Click.
Click over to Sunday Night Football.
I'm turning this off. I'll see y'all tomorrow when I get home.
You're not the only one. I was watching Sunday Night Football, and I heard Al Michaels say, for those of you that just watched the Miami Heat defeat, he's talking to Key, defeat the Los Angeles Lakers, welcome into Sunday Night Football. Welcome to Jimmy's show. 40-point triple-double in their Game 3 win, 115-104. three guys ever in the finals with a 40-point triple-double. One was the guy on the other side of the court, LeBron. The other, the logo, Jerry West. Game four with Jay and the Countdown Crew, 9 Eastern tomorrow on ABC. LeBron, for his part, quote, "I'm not concerned." Tim Legler here at 8:10 with his always interesting thoughts. Speaking of Sunday Night Football, Eagles over the Niners, 25-20. This game was 8-7 for a while. This was a strange game. No Garoppolo for the Niners. They played with a combination of Nick Mullins, who was ineffective. C.J. Beathard came in a little bit later. Jay sort of mentioned this. The Eagles are 1-2-1, and they are in first place in the NFC East. The entire
division. What a horrible division.
Yes. To buttress Jay's point, the entire division has three wins.
Giants still in it, man. They in it.
We had three touchdowns over 14 quarters for the Giants this season. That's where we are.
But unless we get a tie, Giants-Cowboys, somebody's got to win a game in the NFC East.
By default.
Next week, by default. Couple more in the NFL tonight. Chiefs-Pats, of course, I'm sure you know, with the Newton positive test you heard over the weekend. Game tonight, 7 Eastern. It'll be broadcast nationally on CBS. The Pats are traveling today. They're in Foxborough right now. They're still going to get some tests. Then they'll take off. If all is good, Brian Hoyer expected to start over Jared Stidham, who's been inactive for most of the season, and the traditional Monday game on the schedule months ago, Falcons and Packers, that'll be on ESPN, but note the new start time, 8:50, so key to the clicker working last night, love the clicker working tonight with both NFL games. SportsCenter is brought to you by Shell. Get more time to listen to our show by going to Shell and getting three things done at once. First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus. Then save up with the Fuel Rewards program. Finally, snack up to save even more at the pump. Make the most of the stop you need to make with Shell. We already knew that the NFL's 101st season would be anything unlike what we'd seen in the previous century just because of the coronavirus. And here we are. The Titans have been affected. They may not play Sunday. Their facility is shut down. They have 18 players currently and organization members battling COVID-19. And before we get Ryan Clark, the Super Bowl champion, on here, he'll be with us here in just 1 minute. Key, just quickly take us inside, if you will, just the
That's
mental.
That's a dollar.
Oh, you see, I turn to you.
That's a dollar. I'm on it. Yeah. I'm on it. Do you have to keep spotting him, Key? Is this how it's working with
Cash?
You're
watching me like a hawk. It's my crutch phrase. It's my crutch phrase.
You're better than that, Zubin.
I will. So to avoid saying it again, let's just go to Ryan Clark on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line so we don't have to talk about him being ready in a minute or a second. He's with us right now. It's great to have you here, Ryan, this morning. Thanks for joining us. Listen, obviously unprecedented situation here for the Chiefs and Pats tonight, with the Pats taking some tests, then getting on a plane, then traveling. How comfortable would you be playing if you were on either one of these teams tonight, taking into the fact that many people don't know, Rye, you have a pre-existing condition, sickle cell anemia. So this is a real specific issue for you. Take us inside your personal thoughts with what you would be battling as a player.
Well, I think deciding to play in this season at all has been a big decision for many of these players and many of these men. For me, it would definitely be a little more difficult having a pre-existing condition and also trying to understand not only what's going on the field when you're playing against your opponents, but also look in your building. If you're one of the Tennessee Titans, this isn't about football. And we've made it so much about football being a contact sport, but many of the Tennessee Titans and their staff members tested positive very early on in the week. And so it was the assumption of many people that because of football, because of the way the game is played, that the Minnesota Vikings, that who came in direct contact with the Tennessee Titans, would also have some positive tests. Well, they have zero. So I'm not saying that we have now come to the point where we can say, okay, it's not about football. It's not about necessarily the contact. It's about what people do outside of their facilities and what they bring into their own facilities. But it does tell us that people or players have to be more concerned with what their children are doing, what their wives are doing, their girlfriends, their friends, the people that they hang around who aren't under the same protocol, who aren't under the same requirements. That has to be part of your everyday thought process. And as far as me and playing the game of football, if I decided to be a part of the 2020 season, if I decided to not opt out and the tests were taken as they were, the precautions have been taken like we've seen in the Pittsburgh Steelers Tennessee Titans matchup, which has been postponed or canceled for now and rescheduled, and like we've seen with the Kansas City Chiefs and the New England Patriots, who aren't even leaving for Kansas City until today, I would play if I made that initial decision to be a part of the season.
Ryan, much like my co-host Zubin would say, take us inside of what's going on in the mind of the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you play it on the defensive side of the ball, obviously. You prepare for one thing in Cam Newton 24 hours later, you now got to prepare for Brian Hoyer with no film as a New England Patriot.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, it's one of those things, though, Key. You know, when you first hear Cam is out and Brian Hoyer start, you're like, man, hell yeah, man. I ain't feel like fooling with Cam anyway. And then you start to think, okay, now they're going to do some different things. But I think you're more excited about the things you don't have to prepare for than what you do. Because you know with Brian Hoyer, you're going to get a more traditional offense, an offense that calls plays that you're used to seeing week in and week out when you're not playing the Cam Newtons or you're not playing the Lamar Jacksons, Kyler Murrays. And so I think the Kansas City Chiefs will go look at old film of the New England Patriots, what they used to look like with Tom Brady. Brian Hoyer has been a part of this organization before, so it may not necessarily be what they're doing this year and some of the things that they did in the past. And you also go try to catch Brian Hoyer, whether he was the Indianapolis Colts or starting in other places, so you can see some of his strengths, some of the ways that he plays football. If he's looking off the safety before he goes down the seam, just try to pick some of those things apart about his game, old New England Patriots film, where you can see kind of what Josh McDaniels likes to do with a traditional quarterback. But make no mistake about it, Key, I am, and I don't want to say it this way because of what Cam Newton is facing, but you aren't mad that Cam Newton isn't playing, because now you don't have to face some of the unique things that he could do as a quarterback.
Well said, Ryan. Yesterday, the Cowboys obviously laid another egg against the Cleveland Browns. Who did you learn more about in that game? More about the Cowboys or more about the Browns?
The Browns. The Browns, because I think the things that we're seeing about the Cowboys, we already knew, Key. And I remember in the offseason, man, Cowboy fans and so many people were talking about Mike McCarthy and so excited about Mike McCarthy. And I lost to Mike McCarthy in the Super Bowl, so I remember that. But I also remember as time went on, he didn't evolve, right? He wasn't creative offensively. He wasn't necessarily a great coach. And at the time, he had the best quarterback in football. And I would say, all right, be careful what you wish for. This is not bringing in Sean McVay to Dallas. But I did think that Mike McCarthy would be better for the organization as a whole. He would teach him how to be better in situational football moments. They would be a more disciplined team. And they aren't that. But then you look at the Cleveland Browns and seeing that the Cleveland Browns were able to continue to run the football without Nick Chubb. It was Kareem Hunt, and it was Johnson, and it was Hilliard. Understanding that Kevin Stefanski knows that Odell Beckham Jr. is a special player. We were kind of talking about Odell as if Cleveland had forgot he was different. No, Kevin Stefanski is just trying to find ways to get him the ball that doesn't ruin Baker Mayfield and this team. And yesterday we saw a little bit of that, and we got some explosive plays from the Cleveland Browns along with that great running game, and 49 points was the result.
Mm-hmm. Want to quickly mention word coming in from our Adam Schefter and Field Yates, our pair of our NFL insiders, that all of the Pats tests have come back negative. They're on the buses right now, and they are heading to the airport for tonight's game at Kansas City. So that's the very latest. All the tests negative. They are now en route, Jay.
RC, how difficult is that to actually travel and play on the same day of travel?
Man, it's real high school, ain't it? You know, that's how you did it. That's how I did it back in 96, man. You know, I think it's a little difficult, but everything about this year is different. And, you know, Jay, you play ball. Key, you play. We're about schedules. It wasn't necessarily that I wasn't playing at home. It was that no matter where I was playing, I wanted to have the same schedule. I wanted to try to get to the stadium at the same time. You wanted to eat at the same time. You wanted to do all of these things. So everything felt as normal as possible at kickoff. And the New England Patriots aren't going to get that. And obviously, you add a day to it, and in the preparation process has now changed. You know, your recovery process has now changed. If you're a guy who got a massage on a certain day, or a guy that got stretched out or did certain things, now all of those things are different. And so I think that'll be more of an issue than the actual game, what time it starts, traveling on that day. You know, I think those guys will be fine once the kickoff happens and they'll be able to play ball. But some of that routine that gets you prepared to play will be thrown off a little bit for the New England Patriots. So they're going to have to be extremely locked in, especially early, to make sure this thing feels like a regular game, feels like something that they've done before when all the circumstances around it are new and unfamiliar.
It's a great point. As normal as it can be, that's pretty much 2020 in a nutshell. Normal, as at least as normal as you can get it. Ryan, thank you so much. We'll look forward to watching him on Get Up this morning at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. That's 20 minutes away with Greeny and Company. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, RC.
All right.
Appreciate it, Zoo. I tried to be quick, so Key didn't call me out at the end of my segment.
I was getting ready. Hey, I was over here whispering to Jay Will, come up for air.
As has been established, the only guy that's too quick is me, obviously. I'm a little too quick. Still to come.
Pause. Go ahead.
Who? Still to come. Too
what?
Quick.
What
too
guy?
Quick.
I couldn't help him. Sorry.
Still to come. One guy's got a 52-48 record.
E.
One guy's got a 10-25-1 record.
Even E-er.
So why are they both on the same scalding hot seat?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
A little bit about the struggling Texans and the struggling Lions in just one moment, but first, some other quick headlines. Jimmy Butler, 40-point triple-double on Sunday. The Heat on his back win Game 3, 115-104. They did it without Dragic. They did it without Bam Adebayo. Both could be back tomorrow, Game 4, 9 Eastern on ABC. 40-point triple-doubles in the finals. The three guys that have done it, Butler, James, and West. That's some good company. Got to quickly mention here. Breanna Stewart scored 22 points to lead five Seattle players in double figures. 104-91 win over the Las Vegas Aces. The Storm now lead the best of five series 2-0, so they can essentially wrap it up tomorrow night at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Sue Bird, one win away from becoming the 10th player in the history of the league, about 25 years old, to win at least four championships. And we'll talk to Asia Wilson, the MVP of the WNBA and a member of the Aces, on what they can do to get back in this series. Asia will join us at 9:45. Great, great college player she was at South Carolina. And speaking of college, the Oklahoma Sooners dropped out of the Associated Press college football poll for the first time since September of 2016. They've lost two games in a row, which is something you don't really see with Lincoln Riley. They lost to Kansas State a couple weeks ago, gigantic rally for the Wildcats, and then lost to Iowa State in Ames on Saturday. Got to mention, when you got experienced guys like Baker and Murray and Hurts, it's one thing. This kid, Spencer Rattler's really, really good, but he's really, really young. And that is something Oklahoma has not had at the quarterback position in quite some time. And that is your A to Z. Fellas, obviously, right now, we're in a situation where the Houston Texans are really struggling, and so are the Detroit Lions. Let's talk about the latter first. Matt Patricia, folks, is 10-25-1. 10-25-1 in his career as the Lions head coach. The latest loss coming yesterday. They had a monumental opportunity to put together a two-game win streak. They could not do it. They were up big on the Saints, but New Orleans rallied. Matt Patricia essentially after the game saying, I'm here to play the long game, even if I'm a short timer.
I know we got a lot of work to do. Certainly, I think when I came to Detroit, there was a lot of work to do, and that's what we're trying to do. Talking about this year right now, we're talking about right now, these first four games, and obviously today wasn't good enough. I think after four games, you know, our team can really take a look at itself and say, okay, hey, how do we need to play the games? What do we got to do? We've got some work to do during the bye week here, I think, which will be good for us to really take a look at how do we need to play going forward. And I think that's probably the most important thing from that standpoint is what do we do going forward? and how do we win?
We should mention that.
Hold on. Go ahead.
Go ahead. What do you got?
I would just say, hold on. Did he say that there was a lot of work to do when he took over?
That's the first thing he said.
I wanted to make sure I heard correctly. That's all.
Okay. He also did say, and I want to get your points on that because obviously you're pretty hot on that. He did say Detroit is a bye week. They are off next week, as are the Green Bay Packers. I'll give you this key. In the 36 games he has coached, I don't know how frustrated this would make you guys as players with all the work you guys put in during the week. In the 36 games he's been the head coach, 10-25-1 essentially, they have blown a double-digit lead in one-third of the games. In a full one-third of the games, they've blown double-digit leads.
Well, he's supposed to have been a great defensive mind. Isn't it interesting, though, when you get away from Bill Belichick, things change,
his
right?
His old DC, right?
Yeah,
DC
it things change a little bit. But you look at, first of all, how he got the job, right? They're replacing Coach Caldwell, Jim Caldwell, former coach and Indianapolis coach, Wake Forest in college, in the Detroit Lions, 11-5 in his first year, 7-9, 9-7, 9-7, and he was let go. And it's all about relationships in the NFL. And he was let go in favor of Matt Patricia because Matt Patricia had a relationship with the general manager of Detroit because the general manager worked and knew him from New England.
Bob Quinn.
So the moment that Bob said, I'll have an opportunity, I can't do it yet, but as soon as I get the opportunity to do it, I'm hiring you. And so those were the conversations that probably took place at some point in time in the building in New England. And now all of a sudden, you got a coach that's terrible, just terrible, bad business. And Detroit and the Detroit Lions and their fans don't deserve that. They don't deserve it. It's ridiculous. If Jim Caldwell had this type of record, he'd have been gone. 10 wins. He'd have been gone. They'd have let him go a long time ago. But Matt Patricia, because of relationship, he gets the benefit of the doubt. He gets to hang around and chill. Interesting.
They did let Caldwell go on New Year's Day, J, 2018. On the other side, the Houston Texans are all... Go ahead.
It just
go
feels
ahead.
Like it's time for Sheila Ford Hamp to let him go.
The owner.
Yeah, let him go. Let him and Bob Quinn go. I mean, I would just say they've blown double-digit leads in all three of their losses this season, with the exception of the records and things of the past. And, I mean, just see, look, 21 unanswered points against Mitchell Trubisky, who is now the backup quarterback for Nick Foles. And I agree with the key. Just why, like, it's like free Matt Stafford. Free him.
Somebody will try to get him, I'm sure, in the offseason.
We'll see what happens. How about Houston on the other side, also 0-4? And I mention this every time, and he always throws me down. But every time I mention Bill O'Brien's won 4 division titles in 5 years, he thinks that's the most empty stat that's ever been said on the show. You know I love the stats. But they are in a world of hurt. And you're saying, you know, it's not Deshaun Watson's fault, but when you see him out there.
Can I just say this real quick about Bill O'Brien? Did you hear the other day that he was strategizing to take over for the offensive play calling now as well? What else do you need? Just fly the plane as well, Bill O'Brien. Do it. Fly the plane. Serve the cocktails on the plane. Just do everything.
Well, I don't know Bill. I've met him from a distance, though. It seems to me he does this. You know what that means?
What are you doing?
That's somebody else's problem. That's their fault. You did it, Zubin. It's like us when we blame the producers. Not the talent, just the producers. And that's how he is. He's like, I got to do play calling now. I'm the one. Dude, coach the team. You are hired to coach the team. Yes, he's won 4 division titles in a bad division. It's not like all of a sudden they were 13-3, 14-2. They were winning divisions on clunkers. So, look, if I'm Houston, I'm taking a look at that when the season's over.
And the other side of Texas, of course, the Cowboys are a miracle away from being 0-4. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The Falcons really helped them out. But despite their record, they're just a half game out of first. So what could you possibly learn about the boys in yesterday's debacle? That is next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.